and she replaced them with whole grain foods. So when you come into our house, you see we eat brown rice. We eat, we don't like brown spaghetti, but it's there on the plate. We eat sorghum. We eat all the African grains, even the porridge in the morning. It is all brown stuff. I don't know where she got this idea from. So when she started introducing this whole grain food, there was a protest in the house because the food was tasteless. It's rubbery. It's like, it's not appetizing. When you even look at it, okay, we went through 21 days of Daniel's fast, and she was on the moon doing all sorts of meals for the family. She kept at it. You know, she's a tough cookie. She doesn't just give in like that. She kept on. And over time and over the years, we've gotten to enjoy the meals. And I can tell you, when I go to work and I see people with white bread, sandwiches, I like, what are you eating, dude? What are you eating there? I know you guys like white bread. But when you eat white bread, it doesn't taste like whole grain bread. It doesn't. It's not the same stuff. But we developed a taste for them, and now we're enjoying them. So if you invite us to your house, can I say this to you? If you invite us to your house, please, no white stuff, right? We just eat brown stuff. Just kidding. We'll eat whatever is on the plate. Now, do you know that before we were introduced to all these highly processed foods, our diets as Africans was mainly African grains like sorghum, millet, yams, African rice, leafy greens, and meat. In fact, meat traditionally was not the focus of the meal. It was just to enhance the stew. Meat was not like what we're doing now. It was just to enhance the stew. Now, these are very healthy foods. And if you go to your doctor now, they'll tell you, cut down on refined foods. Go back to these African grains. When you start eating them, they don't taste that great. Do you know that there was no sugar in Africa before sugar was introduced from India or Cuba or wherever? All these sugar cane plantations, they were not part and parcel of our day-to-day farming. No. Even white mealie meal, it was never part of our dietary foods. It came from somewhere. In fact, do you know that in Brazil, this white meal is stock feed. They use it to feed cows. But that's what we are in for now. Like, let me just leave it there for now. And you're saying, Pastor, what's the big deal? Why are you talking about this? Do you know that this is exactly the same thing in the spirit? The same things in the spirit. There are things we need to rediscover. We need to go back to our African foods. And in the same way, there are things we need to rediscover in the spirit. Now put this down. What is healthy for your spirit man is usually not tasty to the flesh. Come on now. Have I just drawn your attention right now? What is usually healthy for your spirit man is usually not tasty to the flesh. The whole grain food is not tasty, but we like fast and processed foods. That is why we talk about fast foods, retails, fast foods outlets. When you go to McDonald's, within 5 minutes, your meal is out. Do you know that healthy foods take time to prepare? The reason why they call it fast, it is because it's not properly done. So what is healthy for your spirit man is usually not tasty to the flesh. So, Pastor Lwani, there are things in our walk with God that we need to revisit. There are things with our walk with God that we need to rediscover and to relive. And listen to this. The devil tends to cause our appetite for certain things to wane and die over time. The enemy wants you to be so used to the things of God that they lose meaning. The enemy does not want you to spend more time in prayer, to spend more time in reading the word, spend more time in fellowship. So the enemy will ensure that your appetite. That is why we don't enjoy teaching. Because when you are being taught, you are being fed meaty stuff and bones. Things that you need to chew over. This morning in our devotion with my wife, we were reading Romans chapter 5 from verse 1 all the way to verse 5. And we're like, what was Paul trying to say here? This is complicated. Now, if you are a fast food type of person, you just run through the book of Romans. Like, I've done the book of Romans. But do you know that the book of Romans is one of the most complicated books you can read? Everything that you read in the book of Romans, you've got to ask yourself, what am I reading? What does this mean? Paul says, when we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. And then the next thing says, when we were still sinners, Christ died for the sinners. I want you to understand that there are things in the spirit that we need to rediscover. We cannot grow in a healthy way if we eat junk food. That is why you need to wait and listen. What am I listening to? Is this healthy for my well-being? Is this healthy for my spirit man? The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the opposite could be true, that fear comes by hearing and by hearing the lies of the enemy. What you listen to matters. What you digest matters. How many of us here have experienced constipation? Okay, Pastor, where are you going with this? Have you ever experienced constipation? It's a difficult thing to deal with. Your system is saying to you, there is no roughage, there's no fiber in your intestine to properly digest the food. Or you haven't been drinking water. You've been drinking all these sodas right through the day. No water intake. I want you to be careful of what you're eating in the spirit, because you might be suffering from constipation. And when it is time to fight, you're not able to fight because the system is not properly fueled. So what's the big deal about this? This morning I want to talk to you on a subject titled Rediscovering the Secret Place. I want us to talk about rediscovering the secret place. Jesus spoke about finding a secret place for prayer. He says, whenever you pray, go into a secret place, close the door, and speak to your Father in secret. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you publicly. Find a secret place. And this morning I want to ask the church, do you have a secret place that you meet up with God? Rediscovering the secret place. Listen, unless you rediscover your appetite for prayer, there are things you will never experience in your life. Unless I rediscover this place called prayer, unless I rebuild an altar of prayer in my house, there are things that my children will never experience. Why? Because I'm the one standing between them and their next move. I'm standing between my children and their destiny. And when a father rediscovers his place of prayer, he opens up a doorway for his children. When a mother rediscovers her place of prayer, it doesn't matter what battles that she is facing, she's able to stand. Rediscovering the secret place. You used to be in that place. You used to be found. But God is saying, I haven't seen you here For the past 3 months, you haven't visited this place. I want you to understand that prayer has been fought by the devil. Why? Because he knows what prayer can do. If the enemy can stop a church from praying, he would have won his battle. He can allow us to do all other things, but if he stops us from praying, he knows that we have no hope. So the church must rediscover prayer. If the church is going to experience heaven on earth, we have to find it on our knees. A man that is on his knees is a man who is strong when standing. We have too many weak people because we are weak on our knees. Put this down. Prayer is the only instrument that enables heaven to infiltrate or to influence the affairs of your life. Prayer is the only instrument that gives access to heaven. We want to see heaven type of results. We want to see God type of results. But there are results that we can never achieve unless we evoke this instrument called prayer. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He says, in this manner you shall pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, it is only when you pray that you give heaven access to your affairs. It doesn't matter what happens to you. If you pray, you know that heaven will intervene. Does somebody hear me this morning? Sometimes we cry, but we don't know how to access help. We don't know how to get the help that we need. I want you to understand this morning, there is God in heaven waiting and wanting to come down on earth. Do you know that God only does things in response to prayer? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, when there is life in heaven, let life happen in my life. When there's hope in heaven, let hope come into my life. So there is a transaction that happens when a people start praying. As it is in heaven, so be it on earth. And you're able to say, Father, there is no sickness in heaven. Therefore, I believe that heaven will invade my space. I believe that heaven will change my situation. Rediscovering the secret place. Now, the Bible is full of prayerful people. And we can sit here for months talking about them. And one of those people is the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah. Elijah was a man who understood prayer. That even the apostle James had to refer to him when he was teaching about prayer. What did James say about Elijah? James chapter 5 verse 17. The Bible says, Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. Just put that at the back of your mind. That Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. What did he do? And he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for the time of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth caused its fruit to sprout. Listen, Elijah was a man like you and me. There are people who think that powerful prayers can only be made by people who are God's favorites. There are people who think that I can never pray certain prayers because I don't think I'm God's favorite boy. But the Bible says Elijah was like you and me, where he was susceptible to the weakness of humanity. Elijah would get angry. Elijah would be tripped by things. Elijah would have issues happening in his life, but that did not stop him from praying. What has stopped you from praying? Have you been stopped by what happened yesterday, what happened 16 years ago? But Elijah teaches us today that if we rediscover our secret place, we have an audience with God. He was a man of like passions. He would get angry. Now, I don't know if you really believe this, but Elijah was like you and me. Elijah was like me. Now, let's go to the story where this actually happened. Then we're going to build our story of rediscovering the secret place. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite of the sojourners of Gilead say to Ahab, "As Jehovah the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except according to my word." Elijah, who are you to say, "Except at my word"? This is a man who understood his place as a son in God's kingdom. He said, "There will be no rain for this coming period of time until I speak the word." That's the first place that Elijah prayed, that James alluded to, that he prayed that it might there might be no rain, and there was no rain. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. This is the second scenario where Elijah prayed that rain would come. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, because of the sound of plenty of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he threw himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "Nothing. There's nothing happening." And he said, "Go again seven times." Verse 44. And it happened at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, bind up and go down so that the rain does not stop you." So here we have two moments when Elijah was engaged in prayer. And we see that in both moments, Elijah got answers to his prayers. Listen, unless you rediscover your secret place, your desire to see God at work will remain unrealized. We have many issues happening in our lives, but we have not been given to the secret place. We've not disciplined ourselves to be like Elijah, who sought God in that moment that he needed answers. Now, the background here is this. Ahab was a king of Israel, one of the two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And here is a king of Israel who was worshiping the false god of Baal. He basically had lured God's people to start worshiping an idol called Baal, a false god. Last week we spoke about dancing with the forbidden. This is part and parcel of the story of Israel dancing with the forbidden. And here we see Ahab perpetuating the sin of false worship, diverting God's people from worshiping Yahweh to worshiping a false and a dead god. And because God loves his people, he raised Elijah the prophet to warn his people. Remember, I've told you last week that before God punishes, he warns. So he raises Elijah, a picture of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to know that when Jesus came, he was fulfilling all of this redemptive plan that God had from creation. So Elijah stood before Ahab and he made a proclamation. And he stood before Ahab and he said, "For the coming 3.5 years, there will be no rain." And the Bible tells us that immediately that prayer was answered because there was no dew. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you touch the grass, it's a bit wet. That is what is called dew. In the days of Elijah, for those 3.5 years, there was nothing in the morning. There was no dew in the morning. That is how bad the situation was. That is why God was so much saying, "I want my people back. I will show them that Baal is not the god of rain." What God was saying here was he was challenging this false narrative that Baal was a god of rain. And God used Elijah to judge Baal and say, you got no say in what happens on this earth. Now, what was Elijah facing? As he was standing before Ahab, I want you to know that he was not standing before an ordinary king, but he was standing before a spiritual entity. An entity that had illegally positioned itself as God in Israel. The way you look at your problems determines how you deal with them. And standing before Elijah was not just another king. It was a spiritual entity that was anti-God and anti-true worship. Listen, many people don't pray because they look at their problems through natural eyes. And yet their problems go beyond what meets the eye. Your problem, listen to me, child of God, is not just a coincidence. The fact that you have lost your job over many years and you get employed, you get retrenched, you get employed, you get retrenched, it's not a case of being in a bad place at a certain time. No, there's something spiritual going on here. We toy around with spiritual entities as if they're natural entities. Put this down. When you realize that you are not just dealing with natural problems, you will revisit the secret place. And this is the challenge to the church today. Many people are fighting spiritual entities in the natural. When you face spiritual entities, you don't engage them with your spirit, with your natural faculties. You must fight spirit with spirit. The Bible tells us that the spirit begets the spirit. The flesh begets the flesh. And as he stood before Ahab, Elijah switched gears immediately because he understood that Ahab was representing a stronghold. Ahab was not just a king, Jay. He was a stronghold of satanic operation imprisoning God's people. You don't engage spiritual entities with your natural faculties. We have many people who are very good at reasoning. We are very good at making conclusions in the natural. And we forget that the things of the spirit are more real than the things in the flesh. Because the things in the natural are driven and determined by what's happening in the spirit. So as Ahab was standing, he wasn't just standing as a natural king. He was standing as a spiritual entity. What are you facing in your life today? So as he stood before Ahab, Elijah switched. He flipped. And somebody needs to flip the script this coming week. Somebody needs to say, listen, I've been dancing around this thing for a long time, but I'm flipping. Not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. This thing will change. I've been trying to change this boss of mine by reasoning and doing all sorts of things. No, I'm going to deal with it where it matters. And Elijah stood there. He switched the gears and he went into the spirit. I want to show you how he did that. But look at what Paul says before we see what Elijah did. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Now Paul says, for though we live in the world, we can't deny that. But we do not wage war as the world does. The world still wages war, but they wage it on a different platform. But for you, you've got to wage your war in a different realm. Verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We stop negotiating with demons. You don't negotiate with sickness. You don't negotiate with resistance in your family. You've got to engage them at the right platform, at the right level. So the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. Now, which weapons do you fight with? Right now, as we speak, Iran is under attack. The Israeli army and the U.S. army are busy bombing Iran. And Iran retaliated by pushing missiles into all territories that are housing the armies of the United States. But as they were doing that, I was listening to the news early on. that some of the missiles were intercepted. They did not hit the targets. What weapons are you using? Are you using weapons that can easily be intercepted by the enemy? The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the opposite, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Hallelujah. Does somebody hear me this morning? Our weapons are not of this world. Our weapons are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. We fight not in the flesh, but we fight in the spirit. Again, what weapon have you been using? The weapon you go to war with matters. Do you know why the Zulus were defeated in the Anglo-Boer War? Is a difference in the weaponry they were using. Some came with machine guns, with guns at that time, and some were using close combat assegais, where you needed to get close to your enemy to get him out. But with this weapon that these guys brought from afar, they were able to destroy the enemy. What weapon you take into battle matters, Bazalwane. I'm telling you that it's so important. You fight fire with fire. Now let's look at how Elijah positioned himself. How did he flip? How did he switch? He says, as Jehovah, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. He said, listen, it's not about me, Ahab. I want you to speak to your Ahab and say, Ahab, it's not about me. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So Elijah stood there and he says, as long as Jehovah God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will be no rain. You know what he was saying? He started telling Ahab about the type of God whom he knows. He's saying, your God is Baal, but my God is Jehovah. That term Jehovah means he is a self-existing one. The one who has no end. The most superior God. And he was making a declaration in the spirit and saying, Baal, you are under my God. He invoked the nature and the character of God. It was not about how loud Elijah could pray. And listen to me good. It's not about how long you pray. It's not about how loud you pray. It's about who you depend on when you pray. Put this down. The real power of the secret place is when prayer is made with a true revelation of God's nature. So I'm not just saying, let's rediscover the secret place. We don't want to rediscover the secret place for the sake of it. But we want to know the power behind the secret place. He says, as long as Jehovah, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be no rain. You don't make declarations out of your own ability and power. You make declarations in the name of Jesus. So he says, in the name of Jehovah, the one that I worship, and before whom I stand, I declare. When you pray, you need to understand that you are engaged in warfare. So we don't engage in warfare without being ready and knowing the type of weapon that we use. So Elijah's God was not an idol like Baal. Baal needed to be carried. Baal had feet, but the feet did not move. Not my God. My God has feet, and his feet, when he stamps on the earth, there's an earthquake that happens. Got eyes, but those eyes don't see nothing. But not my God. Hallelujah. And this is what Elijah was saying. My God has got eyes. His eyes are going to and fro on earth, looking for the one who is committed to him. That's the type of God I know. He was setting the tone in the spirit. He was saying, my God is not like your God, Ahab, and you will see my God. What type of God do you take to war with? I don't want a God whom I can carry on my back. I don't want a God whom I can put in my boot of my car. I don't want a God who wants a room in my house. My house is too small to contain the great I am. Hallelujah. What type of God do you go to war with? That's what Elijah was saying. Like, Ahab, I want you to understand today, my God is not like your God. My God is the maker of the heavens and the earth. In fact, the clay that made Baal was created by my God. What type of a God are you taking to war this week? The self-existing one, the eternal one, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful one, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who promises and fulfills his promises, the one who cannot change. Glory be to God. In him there's no shadow of turning. That's the God I serve. Hallelujah. What type of God are you taking to war this week? Elijah said, not Baal. You will know that there's a God in heaven. The God who answers by fire. And listen, he said something very, very powerful. He said, the God before whom I stand. The God before whom I stand. When you pray, do you know who is present? There are times where we pray, but we are so oblivious to this God to whom we pray. But Elijah understood that I'm standing before him. I am in his presence. Put this down. You will pray earnestly and with expectation when you know that you are in the presence of Yahweh. Don't be too religious. When you enter into that secret place, you are before Yahweh, the one who listens, the one who sees, and the one who cares, the one who is able to come down and save the day for you. He says, before the one I stand, you will pray earnestly and with expectation when you know that you are in the presence of Yahweh. And I want to challenge you this week as we fast. I want you to know that you are not just fasting before an idol. You are fasting before the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are fasting before the one who sees, who hears, and who can change your situation. When you stand before somebody of great capacity, you have faith that help is coming. That's the God I serve. Let me tell you something. A believer's prayer must be better than a non-believer's prayer. Let's just talk about that a little bit. A believer's prayer must be different from a non-believer's prayer. What do I mean? Non-believers pray for food. Lord, just give me some food to eat. Non-believers pray for marriage. Lord, I need a husband. I need a hubby. I need a hubby. It's time. Huh? Non-believers pray for cars. They want maintenance of their well-being. Everybody does that. But listen to me. As for you, yes, you pray for all of these things, but your prayers must go beyond that. Your prayers must take you into places of warfare. Your prayers must take you into a place where you take territories for the kingdom of God. That is why the Lord says, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your prayers, do they take you into places of warfare? Listen, we must be better than non-believers. We cannot just stop by praying, bless me and my other three in my family, that's it. No, the Lord has called us to take territories for the kingdom of God. The Lord has called us to wage war in the spirit. The Lord has called us to uproot and to build. When he called Jeremiah, he said, I have called you to be a prophet to the nations, to build and to destroy. Your prayers must be different. Don't be a non-believer prayer. Be a believer who prays, instigating wars. Listen to me. As long as you just pray at the level of non-believers, you are not a threat to the enemy. That's why he doesn't bother with you. But the day you rise up and say, thy kingdom come, that's territorial. That's a coup. A coup d'etat. They talk about bloodless coups and soft coups. But I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, we are there to take over territories. When the church understands that it is there for warfare, we don't just pray for bread. We don't just pray for wives. We pray for souls. I want you to know the battle that we are waging is a battle of the soul. Thy kingdom come. So when Elijah stood, he wasn't asking for his own well-being. He was saying, this is about the God Jehovah whom I know. He is going to be worshipped here. As long as I'm a prophet here, this bow thing is going to stop. And he stood on Mount Carmel and says, hey, let the true God answer by fire. And the one who answers by fire, that's the one we're going to worship. War in the spirit is what God is looking for. The Lord Jesus said, when I came, I did not come to bring peace. Said there will be enmity between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. We want to be nice. We have made our churches too comfortable for the devil. It is time that the church rises up and says, we are waging war. It is time that we rise up and take back what the enemy has taken from us. Why should we beg the devil and tell him, Mr. Devil, please be nice to us? No, we command you in the name of Jesus, let the people of God go. What type of prayers are you making? Prayers of non-believers and prayers of believers. So important. Now, that was the first instance where Elijah stood before Ahab and said, there will be no rain. I'm telling you now, there will be no rain. And we need believers who are able to declare things in the spirit. Like not any of those who came out of my womb will be lost to the kingdom. Never. As long as I live, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I will pray until this one comes to the Lord. Warfare in the spirit. We give in too early and too quick. We need to fight. Now, in the second instance, we see Elijah having another conversation. This is now after 3.5 years. All right? He comes back before Ahab. And this time, it was not to stop rain, but it was to get the rain back. You know, when I was reading this, I'm like, it took a declaration for the rain to stop. But to get the rain back, it took some travailing. Come on now. It took some travailing from Elijah. It was easy for him. As the Lord Jehovah God of Israel lived, there shall be no rain. And there was no rain. Now, 3.5 years down the road, let's get the rain back. So, there is Elijah standing before Ahab. But this time around, he did not make a declaration before Elijah. He took it higher. He took it to another level. And look at this. And Elijah said to Ahab, give me that slide. 1 Kings 18:41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, because of the sound of plenty of rain. He had already seen it in the spirit, that rain is coming. So listen, a prayerful people speak things before they happen. Because we know the one who promised is faithful. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he threw himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. What an uncomfortable position. Go try it. Put your head between your knees. Very uncomfortable. Listen to me. The secret place is a place where we are forged. It's a place where we are shaped. It's a place where everything that is uncomfortable in the natural, we don't care about it because the Lord is about to do something in the spirit. Hallelujah. We are okay to go through uncomfortable moments because we know when we are uncomfortable outside, something is changing in the inside. When we fast, when we stop eating in the flesh and we are hungry, we are uncomfortable in the natural, but our spirit man is being strengthened. We are waging war in the spirit and we are saying victory belongs to Jesus. Amen. He put his head between his feet. Go try it. If you are not fit, things will happen. Dislocate certain things. But Elijah did that. He was in prayer. Listen, Ahab had no clue about what needed to be done to bring rain. There are people who have no clue on how to get victory in their lives. When they should be fasting, they are eating. Come on now. Let me say that. You should be fasting, but you are eating. Ahab was in that realm. Ahab, go and eat, buddy. Go and eat. But Elijah did not go eat. He went up the mountain. Somebody needs to decide this week to go up the mountain. Don't be like Ahab. Don't operate at the level of Ahab where you're supposed to be fasting. You're feasting in the spirit. Listen to me. We need to fast. Ahab had no clue. But Elijah knew the key. He understood that there are things that need to be travailed for in the spirit. There are things we need to wail for in the spirit. There are things we need to utter and mutter in the spirit so that they are birthed in the natural. It is one thing to know what you need, but it is another thing to know how to get the results. When the rain came, Ahab did not know what it took to get the rain down. Father, whatever he has, I receive it. Don't make those type of prayers. Those are suicidal prayers. Because you don't know what he did to get what he got. You don't know how many days he was on his knees to get that breakthrough. Father, I receive what he has. I receive it. No, you have no right to receive what he has. Because you are not up Mount Carmel. Come on now, am I talking to somebody this morning? Ooh, God Almighty, deliver us from the spirit of Ahab that just once and not knowing how to get what they want. Ooh, dear Lord. If you cannot pray for yourself, be rest assured, nobody is praying for you. Let me say that again. Telling you, I love you to the moon and back, but if you don't pray for yourself, nobody is praying for you. This church has got no power. No, you're not praying. You start praying and you see the power of God at work in your life. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, in verse 42, and he threw himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go look. I'm talking to God. Go look. That's why the Bible says, pray and watch. You got to pray and be expectant. I pray and I go out looking for business opportunities. I don't just pray and say, they're going to come my way. No, I pray and I go knock. Pray and watch. Elijah was saying, I'm praying and I know something is going to happen. Go look. One time, nothing. That's okay. I'm going to pray. I know the God before whom I'm kneeling. I know the God to whom I'm praying. He's not like a Baal. There is a difference between my God and Baal. Go look. I'm sure the girl like, is this guy crazy? This is the fifth time. Nothing. Nothing. Maybe this God is sleeping. No, he said, I know my God. Sixth time and the seventh time, something happened. Somebody needs to understand this. When we talk about seven times, it's either we are looking at it literally or we are saying he prayed for a long time until it was perfect and an answer came. Listen to me. There are things that might take long, but it doesn't mean they're not coming. There are breakthroughs that have taken years for you, but it doesn't mean they're not coming. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and therefore I confess. Elijah kept on saying, go check. Go check. Can you be like Elijah? you still keep your hope. You keep your head above. You look to life with full of expectation, though nothing is happening as yet. But you're saying, I know my God is not an idol. He is alive and he'll come through for me. That's the God I know. Do you know what we need? We need to rediscover the culture of patiently waiting in the secret place. We need to rediscover the ability to tarry in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, can you not tarry with me for an hour? Can we not wait out this moment? I want you to know all we need to do is to outlast the devil. Jesus outlasted the devil in the desert, in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Matthew 4, the enemy, the devil, left Jesus for a season. So we need to outlast him, and then he's going to run away, but he's going to come back again. He's such a tenacious devil. So Elijah was acquainted with both quick and slow results in the secret place. He was acquainted with both slow and quick results. When you rediscover the secret place, you'll experience a God who is both quick and slow at answering prayers. That's the God I know. I have seen him both being quick and being very slow. And when he is slow, what I've learned to do is to switch to the time of God and say, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. And because of that, we can wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And David says, I say, wait again upon the Lord. So I'm saying, if your prayer is not answered according to your time, shift to God's timing. And the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall run without getting weary. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. Do you have a secret place? That's the story of a believer. Abraham understood waiting. Let me read that and we'll be done. Romans 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So take note, against all hope. Have you been there where you have a hopeless situation? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Verse 19, without weakening in his faith. That's where the enemy wants to get us, to weaken our faith when we are in the secret place. See, if this God is for real, by now he should have answered my prayers. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Has your situation come to a place where it is as good as dead? Since he was about 100 years old, and that promise had been given 25 years ago, and he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, right? And that Sarah's womb was also dead, verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Why? He was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Somebody needs to go and read these scriptures and just memorize them and let them minister to you. I don't need to preach further. This is self-explanatory to say he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do whatever he promised. Even in your situation, are you persuaded today that God has the power to come through for you? Let's stand on our feet. Rediscovering the secret place. Rediscovering the secret place. I've seen God answering my prayers in a moment like this, but I've seen God prolonging and just waiting. He knows what he's doing. Maybe he's saying, my son, you are not ready yet. I want you to know that God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. There are many things that we want because it's uncomfortable. But I want you to know that character is formed in chaos, not in comfort. Character is formed in chaos and not in comfort. The secret place is a place of forging. It's a place where we are broken. Go and ask Jacob how God broke him in the middle of the night, changed his walk, and his faith was no longer in his ability, but his faith was now in Jehovah. Saying, I'm going to meet my brother Esau. If anything happens, it's in the hands of God. He was limping. There's a transformation that takes place in the secret place where we are changed into the image of God. Come on, I want you to pray for yourself right now. Jehovah God, we thank you. You are so faithful, Lord. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we need you. Take us back, Lord. We want to rediscover this thing called prayer. We want to rediscover, Lord, what it means to engage in the war of our God. Like Elijah stood and he engaged himself in the wars of his God. We pray today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We want, oh God Almighty, to experience, in the name of Jesus, we want to experience the power of the secret place. Father, we are coming back to that place. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to you, oh God. We desire, Jehovah God, to be fashioned and forged by you. Father, we give you glory today. We need you, oh God. We are desperate for you. Deliver us, Lord, from the spirit of Ahab. Where Ahab was supposed to be fasting, he was feasting, Lord, and eating. Oh God Almighty, we pray for that spirit of prayer that resided upon Elijah. Let it be upon us, oh God, in this season. Father God, we honor you today and we give you all the praise. Come on, I want you to pray for this coming week. Pray that, Lord, meet up with me. We're going to be fasting. We're seeking the face of God. If you are one of those people who are committing to praying and to fasting for your situation, I want you to commit these coming days and say, Father, meet up with me. Do something with me. Heal me this coming season. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to experience you. Lord, I desire to hear from you this coming week. Come on now, just talk to the Lord and just say, Father, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by this week. Lord, as I fast, as I seek your face, Lord, I want to hear your voice in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to hear your voice, Lord. Hallelujah to the Son of the living God. Pray for strength. Pray that you are not distracted. Pray that it is a week of intense in the spirit. Let there be an intensity in the spirit this week. Say, Lord, I don't want to just do this in a religious way. I want to rediscover, oh God. I want to rediscover my secret place. A place where I can commune with you. A place where I can hear your voice in the name of Jesus. Pray that, Lord, speak to me this week. Ask the Lord that your ears are attentive to hear. The word says, the Lord speaks in one way or another, but does man perceive? I want you to pray that, Lord, speak to me this week. I want to hear your voice. Lord, do not pass me by when you visit others. Remember me. Come on, I just ask the Lord for that. It's a week of intensity in the spirit. It's a week where we are seeking the face of God. It's a week we want to be fashioned to become instruments in his hands. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this morning that these your people, Lord, as we engage in a time of prayer and fasting, we want to experience you in a new way. We want to hear your voice, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, may your name be glorified. May your name be exalted, Father. We surrender all to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on now, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Son of the living God. With every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you're here.